present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with news of a talk hosted by the Pipeline Industries Guild.
A discussion of the paper Pipelines and the Gulf War will be led by the author Major Block.
Thank you, R.G. Elward of Cardiff, for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome, please, on my right, Richard Ingrams and John Wells. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Joan Bakewell. Before we start round one, here's a story from the Glasgow Evening Times.
Fisherman Luis Pilotti from Torre, Italy, used to throw a banknote into the sea, believing it was the reason for his success. His wife thought it was a waste of money and persuaded him to stop. The day he did, his boat hit another vessel and sank.
Thank you, Beatrice Donnelly from Glasgow, for sending us that. Richard, your first question. Who came for a chat at another place?
At another place? It must be a reference to Her Majesty, I think.
Oh. It is.
Good heavens. Have I got it right? And the ceremonial opening of Parliament.
Quite right.
When exactly it was a chat, is it?
The Queen announced the name of the head of MI6. to the great embarrassment of all the gays and fascists in MI6.
That's no way to refer to the House of Commons.
I was referring to MI6, not that.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
it goes for them as well, probably. That's enough.
Heralding a new economic dawn, a new parliament and 60 new bills, our brand new government plans to revert to private railways and coal industries, just like the good old days of the 30s. Well, we've got the unemployment and the slump, so why not go for the complete set? John, who's about turn turned into a video nasty?
This is something to do with Los Angeles, Barry, is it?
It is, John.
Well, I suppose it's something to do with those innocent policemen having their privacy pried on by a man with a video camera while they were going about the discharge of their ordinary duties of kicking people to death in the street. Was there something of that sort?
Yes, it is. That's it. This refers to a video that shows the Los Angeles riots were allowed to get out of control because the police decided to drive away rather than confront the angry mobs. But as they say in L.A., you can't believe everything you see in the videos. In their defense, the cops claimed that they came upon a group of mindless thugs beating up an innocent motorist and naturally assumed it was the LAPD making a training film. The United States government has now been reported to the UN for serious violations of human rights by the People's Republic of China and the Republic of Iraq. Joan, your question now, who won't play ball with their watchdog?
Yes, this is our watchdog.
Yes.
Acting on our behalf.
Yes.
And being totally ignored by the people who are charging us so much money for our gas.
Exactly so.
Per therm. And they said, forget it. No
and
reduction.
Abolish the therm.
Abolish the therm. Charge more. Turn to electricity. No, that's not right. There's nowhere to go. They've got you at the end of their pipe.
It is. Absolutely right, Joan. You are talking about British Gas, who've been accused by their industry watchdog of overcharging consumers by an average of £15 a year. So now when someone asks you for a shilling for the meter, it's most likely the gas man trying to bark his company BMW. British Gas are refusing to cut bills because, they say, of the uncertain inflation rate. If they'd stopped overcharging, there wouldn't be an inflation rate. Besides, they've spent all their excess profits on essential pipe-laying work, digging up Joan Collins and Burt Reynolds and plumbing them so that their thumbs can light up. Alan, here's a piece of music for you.
Lady Margaret, Lady Margaret, sewing of her seaman, she's all dressed in black. When a thought comes to her head, she'd run into the woods, pick flowers to flower her hat, me boys, pick flowers to flower her hat.
This is about somebody who's totally unlike the person in the song, which was called Lady Margaret. And the question is, who's on his honour to put an honour on her?
This is the dissolute honours list. By tradition, after an election has been won by someone who hates the guts of his predecessor, he is required to put her in the House of Lords so she won't be a pain in the arse on the back benches. And it will ensure that that young Mark becomes an earl in the fullness of time. You can only hope it's very full. I wish Margaret, I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but I wish Margaret a very long and happy life.
This is all about John Major's desire to update the honours system by creating a classless House of Lords. And talking of classless, he is rumoured to be giving a title to Mrs. Thatcher in return for her services as Middle East Marketing Manager for Mark Thatcher PLC. The scores, may I tell you, at the end of the round are, as always, 4-4. Before we start round two, here's a tale from the South Wales Argus, sent to us by Colin de Cornu of Quimbran.
A Welsh tourist who survived for a week in New Zealand's rugged Tararua Ranges limped to safety today. She was lost for 7 days without food, apart from a few prunes, which kept her going until she was rescued by a group of pikers.
Richard, it's time for your question again. Why would it be safer at the summit when Mr. Biggs in town?
Is it not to Gorbachev, is it?
No, it's this real Mr. Biggs.
Mr. Biggs? What, the train robber, John?
Yes.
Well, are they going to have a summit in Brazil?
Yes.
Is it an ozone summit?
Yes. He gets round to it in the end.
Yes, well, the summit is going to be there. And Mr. Biggs.
But not the answer to the question.
I'll just pump up his Zimmer frame and then he'll answer.
Would you like to fill in the details, John?
Not very much, no.
There was a curious summit going on between Gorbachev and Reagan.
We'll come to that in a moment.
Oh, sorry. I think he's done it, don't you, really? For a man of his age, he's got very, very near the question.
This week's award for his selfless service to humanity, it goes to great train robber Ronnie Biggs, who offered to act as anti-crime consultant at next month's Earth Summit in Rio. True. His advice includes handy hints on easily lost items which shouldn't be taken down to the beach, valuables like watches, cameras, and trains loaded with £2.5 million in used notes. John, who rode the range at Rancho del Cielo?
I've already given this answer, please.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. It's Mr. Gorbachev. Thank you. We know the answer. We are not telling you, though.
Well, that's form for the course, I must say.
No, this is old Mr. Gorbo, and he was posing alongside a statue for some reason or other, Winston Churchill. I couldn't understand why that was. And there was a very amusing photograph of him and Ronnie Reagan holding hands and exchanging cowboy hats, which I think must have done him a lot of good in the Soviet Union.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's about Mikhail Gorbachev, who began his American tour with a visit to Ronald Reagan's ranch in California. Ronnie demonstrated his driving skills in a Jeep, holding the wheel in one hand, whilst waving the other rodeo style above his head. Who knows, one day Nancy might even give him the keys to start the engine. Joan, will you have a listen to this?
Neighbours. Everybody needs good neighbours. Just a friendly wave each morning helps to make a better day. Neighbours need to get to know each other. Next door is only a footstep away.
Marlene Dietrich question.
Your question is, Joan, what qualifications will be money for old soap?
Can you imagine them setting this as a subject?
Well, I don't know, dear. You
well, I think it's an outrage. It's not just Neighbours, but there are other television... Coronation Street, yep. Anymore?
Hello, hello.
These are the Excellent Pride stuff. And Prejudice de nos jours, and they are going to be set as subjects for exams. So you have to work out the motivation. Motivation, can you imagine?
What is the motivation behind Kylie Minogue?
write the answer on one line.
I used to know a joke about Kylie Minogue in a larder, but I don't think
I don't think we need to go down that track, Alan.
The fact about these questions, of course, is that none of us would pass them. I mean,
that's true. That is very true, actually. You're absolutely right. It is the English Literature Exam course, which will allow pupils to study soap operas like Neighbours and Coronation Street as a way into the greats like Shakespeare, Wordsworth and Gilly Cooper. Well, Alan, where will you get no credit for lighting up?
This is a smokiest one about the Midland Bank.
Right.
Who, despite their nervousness at being taken over by Lloyds, are not going to be allowed to light up. Probably the sheer terror of being taken over by the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, which has sent them running to their fag packets. But anyway, you will not be able to smoke in the Midland Bank if you are a patron, which I shall never be, therefore. And you can't smoke if you're a member of staff. I mean, nothing can smoke, not even a cat. The
will you be able
bank
to
will not allow
to
you to
smoke on the Richard Branson trains? That's what I want to know.
You can't smoke on any trains now.
No, smoking, but the Branson ones, it might be allowed. It might be allowed back on.
Might be smokers-only trains.
There might be.
You can only get on, now that it's being privatised, perhaps there'll be trains for people only for people who smoke.
Bright future for Alan, who's the only one here.
Wonderful. I start going out of the house again.
The Coron Express, they'll call it the Coron Express.
A puffer train, they will call it.
Brilliant.
So, Alan, you're so right. It's our old friends of Midland Bank who introduced a health-conscious no-smoking rule to all branches, as they want their clients to live long enough to be repossessed. Oh, we've come to the end of another round, and the scores are still amazingly tied at 8-8. Before we start round three, here's news from New Zealand's Christchurch Press.
An 83-year-old Palmerston woman was undaunted when confronted by a woman demanding money. She simply told the would-be robber she couldn't have any, pressed the accelerator on her motorised wheelchair and ran the woman over.
Well, thanks go to Mrs. S. Stocks of Fife for sending us that. Mm. Richard, question again. What stateside case was cut and blow-dried?
This is a very interesting one. stateside case, what does that mean?
That means something in America.
Something in America. we've had the American bit.
It must have something to do with hairdressing, I expect.
We think it's something to do with hairdressing in America. Is it to do with President Bush?
No, it isn't to do with President Bush. It's a very obscure story.
Well, then don't come to us for the answer.
Come to us for the answer.
I knew I was on a loser. I did know that before I started it. But I'm sure that Alan will bail us
out. Yes, there's a bit of a soap in this as well, isn't there? Soap, not just cut and dry.
Well, it's about a gay judge.
It is.
A gay judge.
I suppose I'd have to say alleged gay, but obviously it doesn't matter in this case because he's been sacked. And I shall not come up before him, nor indeed will anybody else. Though he would like them to. What he would like to... He made an offer to young men who came before him on the bench that he would let them off with a caution, with a proper caution, no doubt, if he let them shampoo their hair and give them a short back and sides and stick his finger in their ears and give them something for the weekend. They can get a lot of it in New York. This came to the attention of Lord Chief Justice Lane, or whatever they have as an equivalent in America, some wigless businessman. And this chap was disbarred. Terribly sad story. What a country, can you imagine?
It's the kinky American judge who offered to be lenient with a petty criminal in return for the chance to shampoo his hair. Judge Charles Geyer was trapped when he asked the man if he had any other friends awaiting trial who'd be willing to have their heads lathered in return for a conditional discharge.
Oh dear.
I do apologise for that. His request, was answered by two burly undercover policemen posing as crooks, how could they tell, who went into his house and arrested Gaia, but only after he shampooed them too. It was a case of wash and go straight to jail. The judge was ordered to quit his job at Bedford County District, Pennsylvania, and pay costs plus a 10% tip. John, here's a piece of music for you.
Boy, do be boy, boy, do be boy, good little da da da.
Well, that was Ella Fitzgerald singing Flying Home. And the question is, what developers hope it's chocks away for a flying start?
They won't. Chocks in the sense of chocolates?
No, no. Chocks in the sense of aeroplanes.
And Biggles and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Biggles. Biggles. Telford.
Developers?
Telford Biggles.
There's a special place being made in Shropshire.
Ooh.
For people who have aeroplanes that they want to keep in their garage.
It's called an aerodrome.
No, no. I don't think you've understood, Ducky. It's a special little suburban place.
Yes?
Devoted to people who have aeroplanes instead of cars.
Oh, how charming.
And there's going to be a special airstrip for them.
Oh.
And it's all at Telford.
Oh.
In Shropshire. Telford. Telford. Telford.
Well, it is fascinating.
It's a new town named after the Observer's editor.
Shall we tell Mr. Took about it? Yes, I think we should. Yes.
Richard, I must congratulate you on getting the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the plan to build Britain's first sky park on the outskirts of Telford, the new town that'll look lovely when it's finished. The community will consist of 65 houses, each with garages for light aircraft and a central runway. Gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, remember to leave the landing light on, dear. Joan, what mail's boldly going where no mail has gone before?
Who is
it's
going...
about the Soviet Union. Does that ring a bell?
I do remember it being a place, yes. And it was a country.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, it used to be called the Soviet Union. It's called Russia and other places now.
Now, let me have the question again.
Yes, I will. Joan... Isn't it wonderful? It's better than television, isn't it? But not a lot. Joan, what mail's boldly going where no mail has gone before?
If I just put on my glasses, I'd be able to glance at the document written down here. I don't know what the meaning of this is.
I still don't know. Penalise them.
I still don't know. But my colleague
thin
knows.
Grasp of Cyrillic, this one.
That's right, it says...
Postal services. Russian postal services.
That's right. Where does the space come into it? That's the point of the question.
Well, they're doing it by satellite.
That's right.
The last person they sent up into space had to wait up there until they'd reorganised the whole Soviet Union into the Commonwealth. Independent states. I think it'd be a very slow postal service.
It's the former Soviet Union which has decided to turn the Mir space station into a post office, complete with its own franking machine, stamp, and queue of space-suited old-age pensioners all waiting on a rope for new pension books and complaining that this weightlessness isn't what it used to be. For £500, the Red Star delivery service will launch a letter into space and astronauts will dispatch the correspondence back to Earth via a capsule, except on Sundays and bank holidays. Alan,
yes.
Your question now. How did a flying doctor cause a blip with a blimp? Sounds like one.
Oh, it's a bloke with a gas balloon.
Right.
Quack with a gas balloon who drove into something. He fell out of it.
Did he?
Yes. Well, I remember it very vaguely. I saw it very briefly. But it's a young medic who flies around in a hot air balloon or a gas balloon or something, and
right.
He showed up and bothered flight controllers and things.
It's this week's university lecturer peddles his airship into a river bridge story.
Yeah.
Aeronautics expert Dr. Graham Dorrington was test flying his pedal-powered helium blimp over the River Itchen in Hampshire, as one does, when Tollbridge supervisor Harry Wigg realised it was going to crash into his bridge. After looking up the correct toll for a two-wheeled airship with stabiliser, he dialed 999 but wasn't sure which emergency service you need for a blimp that's being pedalled down the wrong side of the river. So he asked for an air traffic control Coast Guard with a cycling proficiency badge. And amazingly, we come to the end of another round, and the scores now have changed somewhat dramatically because Richard and John are 10, but Alan and Joan are now in the lead with 13. Before we start round four, here's a story from the Daily Star.
Frail Frank LeMay is lucky to be alive, for he's the most accident-prone man in the world. The 6.5-stone weakling has been run over by a train, knifed by robbers, hit twice by cars, and bitten by a deadly rattlesnake. While guest of honour at a party to celebrate his survival after being struck by lightning, he fell from a third-floor hotel balcony. He's also been shot by a friend who mistook him for a wild pig.
And his nickname is Lucky Jim. Thank you, Mr. DJ Beady of Bayledon, for sending us that. Richard, will you now listen to this? Neighbours.
It's the New Look Radio 3, I think.
I tell you now, the authentic music of the snake charmer,
yeah,
by Iqbal Jogi. And your question is, who weren't charmed by the old soft soap?
There was a lady who was...
to do with snakes?
Not quite as big as snakes.
MI6 again, is it?
No, you're floundering, but Joan Bakewell knows.
Snakes in the grass, indeed.
Ah, BBC. Yes.
Worm charming is the rage in Devon.
Oh, quite right.
But you can only worm charm in this competition according to certain rules, with which you may be fluent, but the one thing you cannot do is use squeezy. Is that a proprietary name I'm not meant to use?
No.
Soap powder. No, it can't be powder.
Liquid. No, it's liquid. The liquid. Stuff Nanette Newman can get 50% because more worms out of the ground than anybody else.
It hurts the worms.
It's unkind to their hands.
It.
Well, it is about the 9th National Worm Charming Championships, and this year's Worm Charming Champs were the Worm Picker Licker Dickers of Totnes. John, your question now is, who is gutted to be giving up smoking?
This isn't some unfortunate victim of the electric chair.
No. No.
Gutted, it must be some sort of fishing.
That's right.
Yes.
Keep going.
Fishing. Smoking. Oh, it's smoking some kind of unfortunate sea creatures. Is it like salmon or something like that?
It could be Freddy the Dolphin again.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it helps to say Freddy the Dolphin.
Yes. Perhaps have they been smoking Freddy the Dolphin? What next?
I never discovered whether he was alive or dead.
Oh, he's definitely alive.
He's alive.
He's been sighted off Accrington.
Yeah. And what about Edward Heath?
Yes, he's been sighted off Accrington. They couldn't tell the difference. That was the whole trouble. See him romping through the waves. They just began smoking Edward Heath when they discovered he was a Knight of the Garter.
Joan again.
Do you have your answer, Mr. Chairman.
I think the answer will be an anticlimax, but could we have it anyway, Joan?
A kipper smoker who supplied kippers to Buckingham Palace, I think. Three generations of the family, the rise and fall, they're now going out of business.
Oh. That's right. The Robson family have been smoking kippers since 1906, but owner Alan, a 20-a-day man, has decided it's time to retire. It was he who famously took on the EC in the Great Kipper Wars for the essential democratic freedom which made Britain great. That is the right to send unrefrigerated kippers through the post.
Via satellite. You have to send them out into
the best place
satellite.
For them, if you ask me.
They should find out if you can smoke kippers in the Midland Bank.
Joan, what £15,000 bill left a bad taste in the mouth?
A banquet of some kind?
No.
It's nothing to do with the Ritz sandwiches, is it?
No. It's about a restaurant, right? Yes.
It's about a light
lunch taken by Lord Soames.
It serves terrible food, and the people love it. No, there are too many of those.
Yes, well, I'm not going to give you... No, I'll tell you the answer.
Do, because Dickie is beginning to nod off.
This is the restaurateur stung by a tart review in the Irish Times, who took the paper to court and was awarded £15,000 damages, plus a service charge. The judge decided the review of the Olive restaurant by Sandy O'Byrne abused the life and death power of the critic, the life being the ability to boost trade with a favourable write-up, the death... the fate awaiting Ms. O'Byrne, should she now wander into the Olive's kitchen when the chef's tenderizing steak. And Alan, your question now is, whose hideout gave the boys in blue something to sleep on?
It's a copper story.
It is a copper story. It's a siege story.
Siege?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've missed this bit. Sorry.
The police was laying siege to a place.
When? Well, even I could go that far.
And they,
they probably shot a lot of people if they were.
I've got this in the back of my mind.
No, hold on.
Give us another clue.
No, I'm not going to give you a clue. I'm going to give you the answer. Okay. It's the news that police hunting escaped prisoner Simon Bowman spent 2 days surrounding a house before he was found hiding under a bed in their siege headquarters next door. The ex-escapee was jailed for a further 2 years after pleading guilty to charges of breaking out of prison and impersonating a police bedpan. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, what have you got for us?
This is a slightly unusual announcement from the Huddersfield Daily Examiner, Barry. Mrs. S. Stevenson is pleased to announce the engagement of her youngest daughter, Sally, to Mark, eldest son of Mr. and Mrs. J.P. Dawson. Congratulations from both families. Thanks also to the orang-utans at Chester Zoo.
Oh, what a merry note.
Well, curious,
John,
isn't it?
What have you brought for us?
This one I culled from the Worthing Guardian, Barry.
Oh.
From the small advertisement column.
Oh.
And it reads...
Get on with it.
A&A. All rubbish removed quick and cheap. Special rats for OAP.
From John to Joan. Joan, what have you brought?
This is from the Buteman, brought to my attention by people who come from my hometown, to which I pay tribute. This is what it says. Last week, the Dunoon traffic police had set a trap on the Ardbeg shore. A Rothsay lady of advanced years stopped on noticing the bobbies and politely asked if they would check her car. Everyone is flashing at me, she said.
Alan?
Well, I've got one of those stories. It's got much more, I mean, clearly much more behind it. You can see great waves of resonance.
Uh-huh.
At least I hope you can, with a bit of luck. From the Mid-Dorset Herald. It says, a Belton man was arrested and charged with last week's burglary of the music box in Storrington Street after police visited a house on the Gladstone Park estate on Tuesday night. Neighbours had called them to complain that for several hours someone had been trying to play a saxophone, which he had then thrown out of an upstairs window. And you sort of see why he broke into the music. His dream. Want to be Charlie Parker. Love that.
Thank you for the explanation, Alan. I don't know.
May not be true at all. Probably got the wrong man. Beat him to death with his own reed.
Let's look at the final scores now. Well, they're not surprising, really, because Richard and John have scored 11, but Alan and Joan are this week's winners with 15. As Richard always says at this time, it's like being in the Cambridge boat race.
Or the Labour Party wins.
Oh, yes, indeed. Before we leave you, here's the latest news from the Derbyshire Times, courtesy of Paul Bush from Chesterfield.
A remote bunker beneath the Derbyshire hills designed to survive a nuclear attack has been wrecked by vandals.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, John Wells and Joan Bakewell. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.